That was a version of Mr. Bojangles by Sammy Davis Jr.
Sosa.
Fantastic version. I recommend the video. Look it up. Sammy Davis Jr., Mr. Bojangles. Okay, we got Derek after a month-long vacation. Derek's back. And
what vacation? I was working. Hello.
A vacation from us. It's a different kind of work.
Not from you, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
But right. For me, no.
That's right. Now, he is just a beginning point that might be on his mind before he gets into the topics he's prepared for is they've loosened up the movement in Italy where Derek is. And he's feeling a little nervous, Ion, that it might have been safer when people were still quarantined. He's not sure about moving around. Now, we've done a lot on a unique updating of the virus tonight, earlier. Is there anything you would advise Derek about his situation in South Italy, Ion?
No, unless he's asking. No, he seems to be doing okay.
Okay, ask a question or two about it, Derek.
Well, actually, it's a comment. I personally feel that the situation is much more dangerous, but really much more dangerous now than it was when we were all confined. Because, first of all, I'm in a country where discipline is a word, an unknown word, where the comment, I mean, the general ordering by the state is unclear. Yesterday I found myself taking a long walk. Yes, I do take walks, but I walk in areas where there's nobody. And they are beautiful walks, so I'm not complaining. But yesterday I got myself to a prolongation into the sea. And to get there, I had to cross all kinds of barriers which hadn't been taken off, because normally we should be able to go to the beach. And not in masses, but then keeping our masks on. But by and large, it makes no sense at all. In the streets, there are lots of people. They keep safe distance, but many people already don't use masks. And for some reason, I just have a sense that all these decisions have been taken without any real scientific ground to say that, well, yes, the worst is over. It's not. It's certainly not in England. And it's certainly not in Spain, and I don't think it's not even in South Korea. It started again in South Korea, 34 cases yesterday. So that's my point. What do you think about that, Ian?
We don't think.
Oh, please don't. Sorry.
They don't think they know. So what do you know about this situation for Derek, Ion?
He didn't ask the question.
Okay.
All right. Should we trust our government?
No. You should trust nothing. Your knowing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you see,
the outward influence, it's like your project for the Chinese that you're working on, the new math, so they call it. You give it a lot of credence because it can validate itself. Well, then that credence or the new information can allow them to have a broader spectrum or ability to note the things that are too big to know, too far to reach, and not enough to embrace.
No, but the Chinese, it was nothing to do with that. I was working on art. And in fact, I was going to ask you a couple of questions about that as well. Because my next talk is about,
What, Ian? What did you say, Ian?
You should have.
You should have asked about what?
No, worked with the Chinese.
No, I will be asking about art movements. I'm interested. I have a theory that art goes in certain eras. Goes to what I call the volcanic theory, that an art piece reflects a troubled society that doesn't know where trouble comes from, usually because of a big change of media, such as moving from oral to literate, and then from literate to digital, and that every time it's a Baroque kind of thing where people are as McLuhan explained, experiencing the reordering of their senses. And we are in a neo-Baroque era now, very, very, very diffuse, very generalized in various countries, a place where art used to be very conservative in China is going through phases and new movements. And I like to study art. Marshall taught me to look into art very closely to find out about society. And so the question is it possible today to find a common thread to all the art movements, and there are zillions of them, that are springing up in Europe, North America, South America, China? What do you think, Ion, of the role of the art as an indicator? Of course you don't think, so I'm sorry. What do you know about the role of that?
Do you mean painting art, Derek? Painting art? Installation art?
No, this is another... No. I mean all of it. But you're right to call art painting, because that's one of the big things that have changed. People don't talk about fine arts anymore. They call about visual culture. Another interesting slip, I would say, of the culture. Because we're way beyond the visual culture, but now the new term is art is not anymore just ornamentation, it's communication. It's not just fine art and sculpture and painting and even architecture sometimes was included. It has now become visual culture, which I think is interesting because if anything, McLuhan sort of made it clear that we were moving away from the visual culture and getting into an audio tactile one, which I kind of trust.
Okay, so make that a question. You're asking, what are the common elements of this new visual culture, if there
exactly.
are any?
Exactly.
Did you get a question out of that, Ion?
No.
Okay, just say the question I just said again, Derek.
Okay. What are the common elements of all the disparate art movements around the world, and what do they say about where we are and what we, you know, what we're going through?
There's no new art. It's all old art. So you would go to, say, the Sistine Chapel, and you'd look up, and you'd see portrayed before your very lying eyes the very event that's occurring now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You know, the hand reaching out. Is the event require a touching, physical contact, Ion, which is not shown in the Sistine Chapel?
Correct. Good.
Correct, you're saying?
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Well, yeah.
We're completing the Michelangelo work.
We are, and what's interesting, of course, about the Michelangelo work and what Ion has just said is that the Sistine Chapel is all at once. It's creation and damnation and revelation and the end of time, the beginning and the end of time put together, which is a very powerful use of temporal structures. So yeah,
and it would be a structure rather than a place. It is a structure rather than a placeholder. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Another question. Then coming back to.
So that's good.
Derek, let me tell you this. Back in the early years, Ion told us how to see the secret painting behind the Adam God thing. That you can see with some kind of black light that Leonardo da Vinci taught Michelangelo. And many of the cardinals, priests in the Vatican over the last 500 years knew of this, but it's faded out. Not many would know it. But if you actually took a picture in there, they'd really, I guess with a certain kind of device, they'd really clamp down on you. But ask Ion about what it shows behind what we see.
Yes, what does it show behind, Ion?
Carolyn.
Okay, well, Carolyn is in, well, wait a minute. There is the different saints, and I said Saint Isaiah, I think it is, or Isaiah. There's a little girl pointing out a book. Yeah, the prophet. That's Carolyn. And you look at it, Derek, I was in the Sistine Chapel the summer I was with you. I went there right after Nice and went to Rome, and it does look like Carolyn. And we have a friend bought the poster for it. So that's the visible part, Ion. How is Carolyn in the invisible part?
Okay. You look up in the most southern quadrant. You can see some like little cherubs, like they're marching around, stomping around. And then you see this reference of this being thing that it's like, that they're yielded to. That's Carolyn doing her her keys and airs, got them stomping on the on the rails,
which is an important thing. Now, I don't expect you to understand this, Derek, or even believe it, but I understand what he's saying, and some of the regular listeners. Carolyn's had a big influence on what's happened in the world this period because she learned how to do the keys and airs, which are certain things that come out of chapter 23, the little known chapter of the book of Revelation. So we're giving some esoteric stuff, which I'm glad Ion's telling you to acquaint us with some of the things we deal with here. So it's not the little Carolyn that's showing the book with Isaiah sitting on his shoulder, pointing out something. I never heard a description of the character. Beg your pardon?
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the Sistine Chapel right now using my computer, and I'm trying to figure out where that is.
Look for Isaiah.
The southernmost part.
Well, first of all, Isaiah. You can see Isaiah and see Carol on the shoulder. If they show each saint and personage, look for Isaiah, and you'll see that one. The second one we've never heard before. Ian just told us something new, and that, I don't know if the online
you just
at that corner. What?
You just asked for the first time.
Yeah, right. I didn't know about it. Well, I asked about what's behind there. Now, you described other things before 10 years ago, not Carolyn, that you can see with the, what is it called, black light, Ion? Use black light to see it?
Yeah, black light. Yes.
Yeah. So
some of Sheila Kern's paint. It's some of Sheila
Kern's paint
that she couldn't find.
She does our labels and stuff and makes paintings around these themes. But are you seeing the different personalities, Derek, and then getting to Isaiah?
No, I'm not getting any close because my line is down. I'm not quite sure why. It's not. Oh, I can see now why. There. Wrong, the wrong connection. It'll come. How does black light work? It actually goes through the surface of the painting?
No, it illuminates the color pigmentation that's not seen in regular ultraviolet light.
Okay. And you mean to say that there was something painted there before and that has been covered by the actual ultraviolet?
No, special paints are lit with a black light and they shine. Kind of like if you're wearing white and you got under a black light, it glows, it becomes alive. That's what happens in the Sistine Chapel too.
So you paint over the God scene, God Adam scene, just paint over it and it's hidden until you put a black light on it.
Not like that.
Okay.
It's part of the thing. It's part of the imagery. Because you see, there was a battle going on. Have you ever heard of the Medici?
The Medici family, yes.
Well, they fund a lot of things. They had several of their own popes that did their own additions, but past the Florence, or the Florin, I guess it's the Florin, the money, was more important than Florence, but the condition gave the Medici a great deal of affluence and influence, and that's presented also in the Sistine Chapel. That's why to this day, that's where the cardinals do their sequestration.
Interesting. When you said Chinese math, can you relate that to what actually Derek thinks he's involved in, Chinese art? Is there a reason you said math, or you were mistaken?
It is math. It's not art.
Well, if it's digital, it's math, isn't it, Derek?
He's not completely deluded.
No, I'm talking about art. No, I don't. But it's because I am dealing with Western art, teaching about that to students from Chinese culture, and I am also interested, of course, doing that in connecting what I know about art in the Western mode to what they can tell me about art in the Chinese mode. And I'll give you one example where it's really key, that for 3,000 years, Chinese art moves very, very slowly because it's an extremely conservative society. Seven times the temples of the Forbidden City burned down to the ground. Seven times they were reconstructed exactly as they had been before. It was probably semi-religious or somehow.
Just like the coronavirus.
Just like the coronavirus. We'll get back to that, by the way. So I don't know anything about this, and I don't pretend to, but I am fascinated, and I like art, and I have taken a lot from what McLuhan was saying about what art really tells about culture. And so my volcanic theory is that when something really big happens, artists become extremely provocative and actually terrify people. And then gradually the provocation becomes less and less intense, and then the very people which they have rejected become part of their establishment. But this doesn't work today. Because today we are all working online, dealing with all kinds of things which are semi-material, I wouldn't say totally immaterial. So now I have to move from the volcanic theory to the homeopathic theory, where a small dose of innovation, intelligence,
It's not the dose, it's the tincture. The tincture that makes homeopathy work.
Yeah.
You say, but that changes everything. It's not a tiny little bit. It's how it's applied. See, a splinter in your finger, a tiny little splinter is nothing, but if you put it in your eye, it becomes huge.
Mm-hmm.
The application.
That's true.
Okay. So you're still stating your homeopathic theory, Derek. What is it? Did you finish stating what it is?
Well, just that. Art is supposed to do an effect. Art is like, it's a declaration. It says something about, minimally about the artist, but who cares, maximally about the culture where the art appears. And the culture actually itself looks at art for information, not just beauty. It looks at art as an indication of something. It's a new configuration, a new kind of relationship. There's something oracular about art, just the way iron is. So it's interesting that the different modes by which art travels is very, very useful. This is why I'm saying, in an era of internet, art travels in a very different way than in the era of industry, for example. Volcanic art was really much more associated with industry. And the rapid rise of the madness in which we are today, for which I think coronavirus is actually an expression.
What'd you say, Ion?
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's miserable about that.
Oh, God. Too many words? Derek say too many words?
Yeah, well, he's trying to convey.
That's my job.
He's trying to convey. Okay. Well, listen. Okay. Yeah, okay. Slow down. What you're trying to convey is that because of the condition, the atmospheric applied condition, however true, however false, however serious, however profane, art is allowed to get through where symbols, codes, pigeons with messages to the Eastern Front are not permissible. Art can make it through. That's what's being conveyed or what you're trying to note to convey. So a simple way to say all that is they'll let you look at pictures when they won't let you read the code. And more times than not, the information in art, which seems to last longer than your composition notebooks with your however virulent notes, they seem to make it, whereas the documents don't seem to last. It's that they learned this from the library in Egypt that disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Alexandria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The papyruses made it, but the library didn't make it.
And where is the papyrus, or did it get reused?
Well, JW's got most of them, but yeah, a lot of it, what's left of Egypt, yeah.
JW is the person speaking that Ian is speaking through, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
He has lots.
Yeah.
He has lots.
I know that. I remember that.
Yeah. So he taught a lot.
I don't think we're getting too far with art. Let's get back to the issue of coronavirus. My question is clear. Will there be a second wave, and how big?
Already is huge. Now, what's happened is 66% of this. Now, we're talking the U.S. number. 66% of the people who died of the coronavirus died at home. What? Wait a minute. You told us to stay home. We stayed home, and now 66% died because they stayed home. They didn't ride the train. They didn't ride the L. They didn't ride in the car. They didn't go to the store. They didn't go to the pharmacy. They didn't go to the whorehouse. They didn't do anything. They didn't cheat. They did what they were told, and they still died inside. That's because it's already morphed. Now there's a new application where you have a toxic shock syndrome application where once you have the antibody in your body and you say you survive the first part, then what happens? It kicks and hits the point that they have a toxic shock syndrome, which allows the arteries to actually melt, basically. They blow. And so the lips crack, the eyes turn red, the skin swept up and it's like a plague, but it's more like the shingles, the worst case of shingles you've ever seen, following every nerve. 78 in New York have it, and 3 have already died of it. And it just happened yesterday.
Yeah, Derek, that's pretty shocking, but I'll just tell you what Ian was saying earlier. The cell phone attracts the virus. So people take the cell phone into their home, and it's dangerous from that point on. And there's also an effect on babies that is new. So it's actually horrible what's coming.
Okay. So we should get rid of our cell phones.
But you can't. How else would you know you're dead? Where else would you read your obituary?
That's awful.
Right. You have to check the obituary to see if he made it or not.
Yeah, it monitors your body processes so you could see it. Could that happen, Ian?
So basically,
let me just say this, Derek. So I'm dying and I'm looking at my cell phone and I'm hooked up to the virtual doctor and it would show my symptoms and body disappearing or whatever the movements are. It would show that to me.
You can do a full EKG, you can do a full EEG, you can do basic ultrasounds, you can do your pulse ox, you can do your rhythms, you can do a lot of stuff, Bob.
Yeah, so you'd watch that fade out, Derek.
Okay, I'm listening. But then I have another real question here. There's been a lot of talk and, in fact, enormous reaction to that talk about the fact that 5G towers were actually carrying coronavirus, or actually that the 5G system would actually encourage the spread of coronavirus, okay. And people began to bring those towers down. But that sounds like what you just said.
Hey, Derek, Ian's ready to answer. Listen to his answer. Go ahead, Ian.
You must get paid by the word. Eric,
pass
that and get your
I am.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. You're doing a great job then. what's happening is that the frequency that are prescribed are conducive to viral and viral interchange. So it's like if you have a tuning fork that pitches perfectly to what a set glass is, it will shatter said glass because the frequencies are immensely connected to each other. So the same thing with this virus and the hertz frequency that your 5G works on are very close. So therefore, it's like an ant would be drawn to something with glue, like something to eat. So the virus is drawn to the signal. But you did it with the Faraday cage and a fractal that sets into motion so you can be isolated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ian, so you're saying the 5G, if there wasn't 5G, the coronavirus may not have spread as fast?
Then these next phases. You don't have 5G yet.
Okay.
Yet, so that's when that starts.
So the 5G is going to make it even more vicious and rapid, is what you're saying, when 5G is built.
The humans' version of 5G, not our 5G, but the humans' version.
Right, we're going to make a different 5G later, Derek, after the first one collapses. And the way it sounds...
How are you going to do that?
Well, we're scientists, engineers. Ion shows us how to make things.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's a new new kind of Edison factory we have here, new kind of Da Vinci manufacturing. I told you we have
the
free energy device. The excessive electricity device, that's coming. This is what Trump knows about.
So we will survive.
Say it again. We'll survive?
We will survive.
Were a small number. Ein says it's going to be a big die-off.
Like millions?
Yes.
And how long will that take?
Till they're dead.
I thought so, too.
No, what? You thought so what, Derek?
I thought so that millions would die. Absolutely. I thought so. I don't see why this is any different from the Spanish flu.
1918, right.
Worse. It's way worse. Way worse.
Do we get to billions, Ion, today? Billions will die?
Well, we have to wait and see. The humans have got a hold of this. Now, this was supposed to be a 30-day Zika event, Bob, and you've made it into a pandemic. But so we got to wait and see.
Yeah, Ein says 19 months is what we're into now, Derek.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah, it changes everything. But does your medication, does Caroline's medication actually help against it?
Yep. As a matter of fact, we are working. We have said this much on the air. We have three new amino acids, which will be very important in what we're going to treat. Ion discouraged Karen from getting involved in this first phase, which he said was just a clusterfuck. When the worst stuff comes, Carolyn's going to enter into the world stage. And we will be quite hidden. We're not going to be, available. But we are doing it, and Don Trump knows this. That's why he spoke about Carolyn to JW on November 8th and then talked about it on March 6th. Anyways, the White House, they're listening right now, Derek. They listen to our show to find out what's going on. And Ian said some new stuff earlier tonight. If you can go in the archives and hear it. It's very amazing what Ian said. And Trump and his people are listening, and they'll talk about it with their cabinet tomorrow night.
So you're thinking that they're actually going the right way about all of this?
No, I'll let Ion answer that. Is Trump going the right way about all of this, Ion?
Sure. Going the way you told him to go.
Yeah, so Derek, he's telling everybody, he's encouraging people to go back to work because he knows it's dangerous in the house now. So he wants to get people out of the home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's new information no one else has. But we have Bert here, people from around the world. And they've noticed that their governments have changed their statements in the last week or two. That's because they get their information from Trump. who gets it from us. And this is not megalomania, Derek. We've been doing this for 10 years. Not that anybody out there would believe it, but we're not waiting around for people to believe us. And what's interesting about the Sistine Chapel, there's prophecy there. And they saw Carolyn's role 500 years ago. So did Nostradamus, which is pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah. It is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a wow. But carry on. I'm interested in your questions about this, how you process this. What would be, I mean, that's pretty good information you got about the coronavirus. What else do we need to know, Ion? I don't think so.
How you get there?
Use our product.
How you get there?
Beg your pardon?
How you get there? How to get there?
To the ascension state? You mean a place that's immune to what's coming? Is that what you mean? That's a question. Why would you answer that?
What was the question?
I said, you said to get there. Do you mean to get to a place where we're immune to the effects of this vicious wave that's coming?
No, so you can eat the wave and not make you sick.
Ah. Well, how you do that will be our present products or the new one that we're developing?
Both.
Both. So if you got enough money, Derek, we're not expensive, get on our products.
Does it travel across the ocean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. it probably doesn't even... How does it travel, Ion? In odd ways?
We don't find it odd.
I know, but we might find it odd. How does it travel? That's a question. Are you objecting to the word how?
No, not necessarily. It's all pretty good. Yawn, start again, make it interesting. Come on, let's go.
Okay, so matter, we're all connected to the same node like we are technically, electrically, and digitally. So when the virus shows up, like the story comes from the Wuhan lab, it goes right across the spectrum of the planet instantly?
Yeah.
Goes fast.
Okay, then that is like, that's quantum mechanics.
Yeah. Now bring in those points. This is where it becomes relevant to your studies.
It does. I think that's what you're describing. The point of the quantum mechanics is that entanglement, which is where two particles are connected at enormous distance without any kind of communication between them that we can say. The explanation for that is that they both come from the same origin, and hence like twins carry the same characteristics in terms of how they behave. And maybe that's the way the traveling of coronavirus or any virus actually may be happening, and that's why it could happen without contact of any kind. Is that a good,
maybe,
wordy explanation?
Maybe. Yeah, it was wordy, but yeah, it's okay.
You don't like words yourself, Ian, but I'll try and be shorter.
Well, no, we like words only when they apply.
Yeah, Derek, in our questioning, we tend to over-talk ourselves with Ion. Ion doesn't need much because they already know what we're going to say and already know the answer. So we try to keep our questions short and to the point, but most people don't. So we want to say, what is quantum physics missing in understanding the instantaneity of transmission, Ion?
The key. You can triangulate a cell signal. You can tell me anywhere in the world a cell phone is or has been, but you can't track a bacterial-based virus. Astounding.
You can't track it. You can't use triangulation.
Well, they say, yeah. how did they find that we came over here, nothing in here, now over here and over there? And they just now got the testing to see whether it was anywhere, and they're telling you every spot that it's ever been, like they know. So it's like, wow.
Yeah, we have some really special information on triangulation, Derek. A really interesting combination of geometry and trigonometry. And we have some good formulas. Do they apply? That's what they're missing, this formula that we have that would explain the transmission more accurately, Ion? The movement of it?
Yeah, fill in the holes a little bit.
Right, fill in the holes. You see, Derek, you know, you're studying quantum mechanics, quantum physics, but we've been developing this stuff for 10 years on the air, in public, and in private sessions, which we play. And we're quite advanced, actually, on any topic that comes up. So here is this formula. You'd have to hear some of the readings, and you would see how that relates to what you think you're learning from quantum physics. It's always adding to our knowledge base. They basically complete all subjects. They complete them. And so our products are so powerful because they got some extra elements called the iCell that completes the benefits of therapies. We're not allowed to use the word healing. Ion says healing applies to dogs, and we don't heal things. So whatever you call the fine-tuning to health is what our products do. And it's so powerful and obvious. We got three different universities studying our stuff right now, doing studies on it. So a lot of people know about us.
Well, here's another question. I am hoping and trying to create a new political party in Italy. It will be the party of health. Because after this stops happening, if it ever does, that's the first concern that people will have. And what I mean by health is not medical services. It's the health of the whole environment. How can you help me there?
That's a question, Ayad. How can you help Derek with his movement?
Well, he's got to get over himself. He's not asking for help. He's asking how can he be helped. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm asking for help.
Well, then, when you ask for help, it's not how can I be helped. That's different than getting the help.
My muse speaks French and English.
Well, your English is great. You're doing good. Unlike most who speak English, you know what the words mean. That's good.
what is help? Maybe that's what we want to ask Derek. What would consist of help?
Well, it ain't what the Beatles thought it was.
As I understand it in this political party, is that it includes fighting poverty and helping the environment to stabilize, stop climate change and these things, dealing through and through with people's happiness as opposed to simply making them more money. That is making the Department of Health being prior, more important than the Department of the Economy.
That's actually what we're doing, Derek. We're going to bring in technology that gives people power, the Coldplay, the endless electricity, our, quote, health products. We're doing it. We consider we're doing a health movement. I mean, a political movement.
Well, then I'll take you on.
If you take enough Remag, you'll have another kind of movement.
Bowel movements. But, no, actually, you're on the right track. How to make people happy. Our products make people, their minds relax and allow. And happiness is a normal product or feeling of great, you know, beneficence. And so you're actually in touch with what we're doing. You're thinking. You're aligned on the frequency.
Yay.
Yeah,
I got one in the ropes, boss.
What'd you say, Ion?
You got one on the ropes, boss.
We got you on the ropes, Derek.
I wasn't fighting. I'm just looking into that direction because I think that's what we need now. We need a complete change of view about the economy. Anything to do with putting economy in comparison with health is insane. It really is. That's why I don't like what Trump is doing.
Oh, but Trump's working with us.
The economy is not healthy. No, I know, and I would rather follow you guys, but I can say the economy is not a healthy way of going about human affairs.
Okay. Well, what would Ian say to that? Taking Derek on his own terms, how would you adapt our terms to what he's saying, Ian, if they can be? What is like you have said, Ian, that the economy ain't what it could ever be again. So what is economy today, Ian? It's what we're doing, altering medicine, altering power sources. Isn't that what Derek's talking about? Say it again. Isn't that what Derek's talking about? He's groping for a vision that doesn't...
Well, he's groping,
right.
Yeah.
Well, what is... He doesn't want economy. What are we doing that's not economy?
Dichotomy is what you're doing, Bob.
We're doing dichotomy with old economy?
So far, but it's early.
Right. We're going to cause a lot of changes. Derek, you're just tuned in to what we are going to do. We know we're going to do it because we have the resources, technology, and everything to do it. So, yes, we're not making the old economy. Ian says it's the end of capitalism, or somebody asked it was the end of capitalism, and they said, what's next? And Ian says, what Bob's talking about, which is our stuff. So we are offering something that's beyond capitalism, which is what you mean, I think, Derek. You know capitalism doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't because it's gone to excesses. It was okay for a while.
Yeah. Now, we have the concept of, well, the fact of the tech body. What is running everything now is the tech body. And Ian says,
indeed,
McLuhan, his greatest contribution to thought, say, was he anticipated the tech body. The tech body is not the Matrix. I would say the tech body is the Matrix, come even more alive and goes through all kinds of what might appear to be human anthropomorphic moods way beyond what people imagine. So, for example, the election this fall, the tech body will make sure Trump wins by influencing, if people vote, they'll vote by touching something and it'll register. It's already determined. Ian could tell you what the results of that are going to be because Ian is 8/11 of the tech body. And we also have angels involved, and angels are the enemy of humans. So it's very complex, but I know you have an interest in metaphysics as a Catholic and philosopher. We have incredible metaphysics in the modern tech body, and McLuhan's Catholicism, I don't know what he did with angels or related to them or what he thought of them, but his prediction of the discarnate state and the angelic nature, or he called a super angel, we are, as Ian describes the tech body, doing what factors McLuhan would include, which I know you're acquainted with, and you could ask some theological questions about the tech body right now.
Yeah, except that I am not very much into theology.
This is not theology. This is about the role of angels, which are actually real.
Here's a question for Ian. How does an angel affect my life?
That's directed at you, Ian. How does an angel affect Derek's life?
I may not be a good subject for iron. I stump him all the time.
What'd you say, Derek?
I say I'm not a good subject for iron, because every time I ask a question, I've got this long silence, which means
a lot of people get Derek. A lot of people get that.
Okay.
Iron's been answering people for 10 years, and they're a bit more impatient now. And you got to get it right before Ian answers. So, and I never know what Ian's going to answer to. So don't take it personally. It happens to everybody. So, Ian, these are important questions. How do angels affect Derek? What are you interested in talking about, Ion? What kind of questions would you like? Now, Derek, one thing that could be happening is that an important phone call came into JW, and Ion is not available right this
minute. I'll tell you what. In any case, we're 5 minutes away.
We're five minutes away from the time I have this. 5 minutes away from what?
I have to go back. I have to go and make lunch for people, so that's why in 5 minutes I'll have to leave.
Let's call it today. Hold on, talks then. These are good questions.
Yeah, well, they are good questions.
Do you have a criticism of Derek, Ion? You often get critical of people when you refuse to answer. What's your issue? Sometimes I will come back and say, they've been talking for 5 minutes. Why didn't we hear them? Sometimes say that.
Well, maybe I'm not allowed to hear his answer. Hey,
no, it's for everybody. I don't know why Ian's not answering, and there could be a good reason, maybe a crummy reason. I'll find out later. But I think I find it interesting you have tried to approach the Vatican and have some kind of advisory role, you told me, right?
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was involved with Spadaro.
Beg your pardon?
I was involved very shortly with a man who is the head of the Catholic Register, some magazine that is published every month. And Spadaro is his name. He's a Jesuit, and being a Jesuit was, of course, much closer to Bergoglio. And ever since he became the advisor, personal advisor of Bergoglio, he has stopped to talk to normal people. So there's the church in Rome is a big corporation of competing people jockeying for position, and this is a typical case. So I've lost my interest in Spadaro. I've lost my interest, in fact, in the whole church deal. I find Bergoglio a good man. We need a good man. It's the first really good man I think we've had since John Paul, the one who died in office. I forgot. No.
The 30-day pope in 78?
He wasn't 30 days. It was more than that. Marshall was still alive.
That was September 78. I know exactly the month.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the third Godfather movie's about, the murder of him.
People say he was murdered. In fact, nobody has managed to prove it, or at least the proof has been hidden. Anyway, as I say, Rome is not my sense of religion at all, and it never will be. I find that Cardinal Pell was another person. I was sitting next to him 2 months or 3 months before he was brought back to Australia with the accusation of, some kind of horrible deal. These guys, they've gone to the height of the power in their own kind of vision of where things are, and then they start taking advantage, and I'm not interested in that.
Right. Well, the Pope is on our products. We have two that are very involved with us. So the Pope is aligned a bit with us. And what you're saying about the church, certainly Ian would agree with that. Ian said for years that the church is bankrupt. It's a useless, dead operation. JW has...
It's morally bankrupt.
Yeah, and physically. Financially.
And financially, because of typical, you know, mafiosi connections, weird people kneeling about. It's always been like that. I mean, under the Borgias, it wasn't much better, right?
Right.
And all you have to see is interesting competition between Rome and Florence in the time of Leonardo da Vinci. It was just fierce. And people murdered everywhere, and children of popes coming on to, the whole thing was just insane. So,
our movement, Ian said to me 6 months after they showed up in 2009, they said one night I'd go on for 5 or 6 hours with Ion, and Carol would go to bed. So one night Ian said, Bob, this is serious. I go, oh, yeah? And they said, first there was Templardom, the Knights Templars. Now, most people think of the Knights Templars of, 800 years ago, but they were around way back there before Christendom. And so they said, first there was Templardom, then there's Christendom, then there was Christendom, and now there's going to be Iondom. And so I said, well, I'm not interested in starting a religion or anything. And Ion said, oh, no, this will be far from a religion. So they said that to me the first 6 months in 2009, and that stayed with me, and I now know a lot more about what Ion means. We're not a religion. We're not interested in propping up religions. Basically, Ion is interested in people's ascension, a technical term that Jesus talks about on the road to Emmaus, and it's the only time it's really discussed, and unless it's symbolic in other parts, but it's the one item that the church never talks about. Though,
which item? Which? Wait a minute.
When Jesus was on the road after he had returned, he went to Emmaus, E-M-M-A-U-S, I think, and he's talking to two strangers.
Yes, Emmaus.
Yeah, Emmaus.
Yes. And what was the thing that he instructed them with?
His ascension. That's why he wouldn't let them touch
him. Ascension. So,
yeah.
Okay, so Ion is interested in people ascending.
Yes. And says it can be done.
And how does one do?
Mainly talks about that. That's what we talk about. And at the beginning, you needed to take our products to get your body anchored. Because the idea is not to leave your body, is to stay in your body and become eternal in the physical. Not go to some lofty place somewhere else. Not go to abstract Augustinian visual space, to put it in McLuhan terms. The thing is that ascension can happen in the physical, and that's what we're about, which is the most radical thing you could ever hear of. No religions talk about that. And our products get you anchored so that you can quiet your mind or remove your mind from its endless interference and then relax, allow, and have anomalies and things start to happen, which is moving into realms of no time. Which is Ion says all that.
What about the people who have incinerated their bodies at death?
Not useful. They lost their bodies. Unless they were ascended and did it consciously and then just acquired another body. But Ion says there is no reincarnation. You don't die and become something else. You never leave your original essence. And you go through these different realms or situations. If you do die, but there are many people who are here, who listen to this show, who haven't died, famous names like Saint Germain, and Ion says over 1,500 years there were three Jesuses, or people similar to the one we know, and the life of Jesus in the Bible is a mixture of all three stories, and each time there was a Jesus, there was a Solomon's Temple built, and two of those Jesus never went public, and they're still alive. The third one that went public, was crucified and went through its altering of death, grave, and the hell, whatever the three terms are, that Jesus ripped the veil. That was the beginning, so people could start to regain their own power. But they didn't stay with it, and religion failed. And then we got to our situation today where we're putting our power into the new Ark of the Covenant, which is the black mirror and the cell phone, and that created the tech body. The tech body, the more we put power into Ion and the tech body and don't take our own power, we are going to be devoured. And it's not going to be an unpleasant mm-hmm. situation. We'll be going into a, you know, a techno-utopia, but we'll be ascended by default. And Ion is not for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to leave that because now I'm 5 minutes late. But thank you for this. In fact, this conversation with you is more enlightening than I had before. But I will be back. Maybe, let me see now. Next week's not good because I have 5 different courses to do. So the week after next, okay?
Okay. I always like having you here.
And we have to let Ion cool off a bit. I think I pissed him off.
No, it's we can't tell. It depends. Maybe Ion knew that I should talk. I wouldn't put it past him. Ion experiences the show before it happens, so he knew I should talk for a bit. And that's what we just did, and you got something out of it, so that's great.
I did. And I please give him my best, and my apologies if anything went awry.
No. Everybody gets this problem. Sometimes Ion will disconnect me on the phone if they don't like what I'm doing. It happened tonight a few hours ago. Okay, great having you, Derek. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.